Okay, so let's go ahead and call our meeting to order for Wednesday, October 23rd. And if you will join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nicely done, especially right here in the front row in that pink vest. You did a wonderful job. Okay, and so with that, we'll have roll call, please.
Director Bradford.
Here. Here.
Director Van.
Here.
Director Dorsey.
Here.
And Directors Alvarez and Curry both have excused absences this evening, and to my left is Superintendent Infield. And with that, any changes or additions to our agenda?
There's none.
Okay. That takes us right to recognitions.
All right. How's that? Is it working? Excellent. Good evening, everybody. I'm excited that we have a few very special recognitions tonight, and we are going to start with our champion solar car challenge team from Raisbeck Aviation High School. If any of you follow, if any of you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that this summer, I believe they set a new record. That's that right? So it's pretty exciting. I asked them to come and share their accomplishment so that we could recognize them. So I will turn it over to our brilliant students, and I think they have a video they want to show as well, or just a slide deck. Perfect. Okay? And if you could each all introduce yourselves so we know your names and what year you are. Perfect.
Boyle, is this on?
Yeah.
My name is Jeremy Boyle. I'm a senior.
My name is Lauren Vidalaro, and I'm also a senior.
My name is Tia Fowler. I'm also a senior.
My name is Alexander Keller, and I'm also a senior.
My name is Joseph Wazebo. I'm a junior.
My name is Nicholas Nemeth, and I'm a senior.
All right, is everyone ready? All right, so my name is Jeremy Boyle again, and I'm a senior, as I've said. And we are part of the green energy team. So we need to hold up. And we're joined by a few more members of our team here today. So the green energy team is a group of dedicated students that are working on ambitious engineering projects. These projects include where we designed and built a functioning wind turbine for the Collegiate Wind Challenge. And now we've shifted our focus to the National High School Solar Car Challenge, where we competed in the summer of 2019 in Texas. That's the project we're here to tell you about today, and we're really excited to tell you about our experience and our goals moving forward.
Yeah, so this summer, we were the only team from Seattle and the one team from the PNW to go down to Texas to compete in the Solar Car Challenge. So we ended up placing first in our division and also setting records every single day on the track. And a big part of why we won is because we knew our car's behavior in different environments, knowing when to go fast, when to go slow, and when to go in between.
Here we have a time lapse of us unloading the car at the track. And it was really fascinating and motivating to see all the different faces across the nation and just to meet everyone at the competition. So here we have a picture from our first day at the scrutineering station where the judges would basically just look at every nook and cranny of the car and to make sure that not only was the driver going to be safe on the track, but was the car going to be safe on the track and not break down. So this was the tilt test where we tilted the car with our handmade jacks 20 degrees off of the ground on each side.
So the team camaraderie between all of the different teams and members, as well as the judges, is a big part of the Solar Car Challenge. And in fact, if it weren't for the help of some of our direct competitors, we probably would not have been able to have won the last day of the challenge, because on that last day, we had a tire pop, as well as both of our horns actually exploded. But it was thanks to the generosity of two other advanced division teams, people that we were have been competing against for these past several days. They were generous enough to give us our horn so we could be able to fix our car, get back on the track in a timely manner, even though it would have made more sense for them to have not done it. It's just the spirit of the challenge to help out people who need the help. And so I was also one of the drivers there last year, and it was an amazing experience. Being able to use the culmination of countless hours and weekends spent building this car, testing it, and making sure it complies with all the rules, and then finally taking it all the way down to Texas and racing, winning all the days, smashing all the records, was truly an amazing experience, to say the least. And it's what's got everybody here so thrilled and excited for this upcoming year as well.
Now, this year, we are striving to be even more ambitious and better than we were last year, and build upon the great accomplishments that we had. And so, this is not a picture of our car.
Yours will be way better than that.
Of course. But this is actually the 2009 winner of the World Solar Challenge, a competition in Australia where cars from across the world compete in a long endurance race. And we're taking a bit of inspiration from a few of the cars that were competing there with two major design changes that we're implementing. One, an integrated solar panel into the shell of the car, like we see up here, and another one that we very much value, the seat can adjust. So this means that the back of the seat will be able to tilt, and the pedals will be able to be moved, so that anybody on our team that wants to drive, which is kind of the highlighting part of our team, will be able to, and we think that's just a really cool experience that everybody on our team will be able to do.
Not only are we building a new car, but we also have a ton of new members this year. We have 12 new students in addition to 7 returning members, so we're sitting at 19 total right now. This is really exciting because the kids who are on this team are coming from such a diverse range of backgrounds and experiences, socioeconomic backgrounds, ideologies, ways of thinking. We have kids who've never used a power tool before, to kids who are really advanced in design, engineering, CAD, marketing, etc. So we're bringing together and conglomerating all these sort of methods of learning and ideologies to really help each other learn. We're learning from each other, but we're also sort of bringing up the knowledge base for everybody at the same time. In addition to new team members, we also have new community members who are supporting us. So a big push this year is to do more outreach into our community. So we're contacting more local businesses, getting major companies involved to really better present all of the Pacific Northwest, and of course, the Highline Public School District.
Now this year, with our focus, we're trying not to bite the bullet when it comes to time, since last year that was a bit of a stressor. We have a lot of new faces on the team that are helping us to become way more efficient than we were last year and plan out scheduling way better. That coupled with bigger goals means that we are going to have way bigger capabilities in the future, as well as the sustainability of the team to progress on for years to come. One thing that we love is that every person on the team, every team member, has both a job, a lead to look up to or to ask from, and most importantly, a goal.
Not only do our new members have goals, but our entire team has some really big goals for this coming year, some of the most important being sustainability. So we're sort of implementing this new track of students come in, they have a buddy, sort of growing up through the knowledge base of the team, in addition reaching those new community partnerships beyond the entire team. And of course, when it comes down to it, we really just want to keep inspiring students, taking on newer and bigger challenges, and building really cool cars. Thank you so much for your time, and we'd love to answer any questions if there are any.
Questions, comments?
So congratulations, guys. What a great feat to have. This is year number two, and you guys are, this is amazing. So who are your current mentors and advisors from the school and from the community? Can you turn that up?
Okay. Ms. McComb is the ninth grade science teacher. So we all come into the school with a project-based learning, and that he really makes our love, he really starts our love for project-based learning, and he's been able to help us and support us in this journey going forward. And next up, I recognize Alan. He is a constant face in the shop. Can we give him a round of applause, please? A nickname we like to give Alan is the Muscles from Brussels. He's Belgian, and he's a big help on our car. He is background in electrical engineering, and he has a great way of working with students, helping them learn, and helping them really build the best car we can. So those are our mentors, and we have a lot of people work with at school, but those are the two biggest ones.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Scott and Alan, for your support. And Therese, wherever you're at. There you go. Thank you so much for inspiring our students. And year number two, it's going to be awesome. So,
thank you.
Thank you. So we are incredibly – I'm sorry, go ahead. Go.
I just share in the sentiments of Joe's congratulations. And my question is, who got to drive in Texas? When you all went to Texas?
Yeah. So
myself, Jeremy, Tia, and Nick that are here all went to Texas, including McComb and Alan. So driving here, Nick, Jeremy, and Tia all drove on the track.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I had another question about, so where will the car live? Will it stay at aviation, or is it going to go to like a museum, or what?
So currently, the car is in our school; it's in our garage. So until further notice, we're going to use it for marketing purposes and for any other, I guess, outreach that we're going to do to businesses or companies that need to see the car.
Nice. And then finally, I'd love to hear from our seniors. What's your plans after high school? Where are y'all going?
So currently I'm really interested in rehabilitation engineering in addition to international business, which college, of course, we haven't heard back from our colleges yet about where we'll be accepted, but dream school would probably be Harvard right now.
All right.
Dream.
I've always had a love for engineering, and if I'm following my dad's footsteps and planning on getting a mechanical engineering degree, my dream school would be to go to Rice.
All right. So I'm not really sure what I want to major in yet, but I do have a really big passion for science and aerospace and engineering. My dream school would be Berkeley.
All right. Go Bears! That's my alma mater. Now we're talking.
Yeah, so I would like to probably go into either aeronautical or astronautical engineering, hence why I went to Razorback Aviation High School. And I would say my dream school would probably be either Caltech or Stanford.
All right. We'll see you.
So I am more interested in more of the business side. I'm looking to go into something like accounting or business management, and my dream school would be Loyola Marymount.
All right.
So, again, we're so incredibly proud of you. You're a real role model for all of us. We'd like to do a group photo with the board up here, if that's okay. And you're welcome to have – do you want to come up, Therese and Scott? And, Darren, do you want to be in the photo? Or do you want to take the photo? It's up to you all. The whole team.
Lights on up there too.
When I describe our students as brilliant, beautiful, and brimming with promise, I am not exaggerating. Case in point. Thank you very much for being here. One more. Before we move on to our school presentation for the evening, where we'll celebrate Beverly Park, I would like to do our one proclamation, which is for School Bus Safety Week. And so I am going to read the proclamation, and then I'm going to ask Kay Ware and Devin Denny to come up and accept this. And Kay, is it true that you were an original Glacier Wolf? Fair enough. That came out wrong. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah, I should... Wish I could rewind that one, Kay. Sorry about that. Okay. Let me read this. That's jet lag. Where... So... Whereas each school day in Highline Public Schools, more than 90 school buses provide more than 13,000 student trips with transportation between home and school, safely traveling more than 6,500 miles. And whereas school bus drivers must complete initial and ongoing annual training and provide the highest standard of care for the students they transport. And whereas the school bus inspection program ensures the safety of school buses and exemplifies outstanding interagency cooperation between our school district and the Commercial Vehicle Division of the Washington State Patrol. And whereas school bus driver instructors, shop personnel, supervisors, and support staff perform vital functions in assuring the safe operation of the student transportation system. And whereas ensuring motorists adhere to the rules of the road around school buses during the loading and unloading of students is critical to maintaining safe conditions, now therefore I, Susan Enfield, Superintendent of Highline Public Schools, do hereby proclaim October 21st through the 25th, 2019, as School Bus Safety Week in Highline, and I urge citizens to join me in this special observance. If we could all give a round of applause to all of our transportation team. And I just want to acknowledge, before we come up for the presentation and the photo, some of you may know that across the country it is a challenge to hire enough school bus drivers. And what our transportation team does to meet that challenge and still ensure that our students are transported safely is nothing short of heroic. So we are grateful for that, Devin. We're grateful for your leadership. And so please come on up and we'll present you with a certificate. Okay, and now I am happy to bring up Robin Lamoureux, principal of Beverly Park, who will share the work with some of her team of what's happening at Beverly Park, and then we will honor our student superstar for this month. Robin, it's all yours.
Thank you. President Dorsey, Superintendent Enfield, Highline Board Directors, my name's Robin Lamoureux. I'm the principal at Beverly Park. And it's my honor to represent the students, the families, the staff of Beverly Park. Thank you for inviting us tonight. Speaking alongside me tonight will be kindergarten teacher Elizabeth Pequadio, our ELL, ELA, A specialist, Melinda Freeland, our math specialist, Carrie Steinke, and introducing the best part, the star student, will be teacher Michael Dobransky. Our purpose and mission at Beverly Park aligns perfectly with the district's promise and commitments to students and families. Our Beverly Park story is about commitment. Commitment to student progress, commitment to English language acquisition, and the multilingual skills that all students need to fully develop their thinking and communication abilities. And we are committed to supporting every child's social and emotional well-being to maximize every student's full potential. In some of the upcoming slides that you'll see, our performance data is not where we want it to be yet. But you know and I know it's not the full story of how well a school is doing overall. The real story is about the heart of the school. Let me tell you about the heart. Our teachers and staff are truly the heart of Beverly Park. They are dedicated, loyal, fierce believers, always student-focused. Tonight we have a mighty little contingency here of support. So if you're a teacher, a staff member, a student, a family member, a friend, a former staff member, or just a supporter of Beverly Park, could you please stand and be recognized alongside us? And I couldn't go on without talking about our students. They are truly the heart of Beverly Park. They are kind and happy learners. We have a community of arms wrapped around us in support. And I want to talk just a minute about some of the support we receive. We enjoy and appreciate a lot of community and agency partnerships. I couldn't name them all, but I chose to recognize the Highline Foundation, who provides shoes for any student at Beverly Park in need. And just today, we had a nonprofit agency there, along with a corporate sponsor, who gave a brand new coat to every student in our school. That's just to name a few. We also enjoy OSPI state support for our comprehensive status, which helps us to focus always on school improvement. And we have a lot of district support. I couldn't name it all, but we get priority consideration at Beverly Park for funding. We have additional funding for family engagement. And we have consultancy support for reading and math to help improve our instruction. And last but not least, I wanted to mention a partnership with the Puget Sound ESD and the ECAP, where we were able to open up a brand new Little Eagles preschool last year. I can't tell you what a difference that's made in our school and how much our families appreciate bringing their children to our preschool. And it's full and it's lovely, and those 3 and 4-year-olds really make a difference in our school. So,
moving on. At Beverly Park, we have multiple tiers of social-emotional support, such as sound discipline, RULER, and PBIS. With RULER and sound discipline, staff have studied and implemented trauma-informed practices. PBIS aids in behavioral incentives and setting our school-wide expectations to soar to great heights, which invites students to show respect, ownership, acceptance, and responsibility. Because of all of these supports, suspensions have reduced significantly in the last 3 years at Beverly Park. Students want to be at our school, and this is shown by our consistently strong attendance data.
The foundation of our instructional work has been on building language in all content areas through authentic discourse. This has been the focus for the past 3 years as part of our annual action plan. And we're seeing the benefit of student-wide discourse strategies impacting all areas of English language acquisition, preparing our upper elementary students particularly to exit English language services, which is also transferring to growth in writing on the annual ELPA assessment or English language assessment in February. Fostering authentic discourse also supports our school-wide value of language and culture, positioning our students as teachers and leaders within our community. We're seeing growth in writing in the SBA and identifying needs in critical thinking in math. Our students are interacting with online learning through iReady, demonstrating over a year's growth in reading and in math, building fluency with media literacy and application of critical thinking skills that have been fostered through this classroom instruction.
We are committed to our focus of authentic discourse and communication to enhance sense-making in all subjects. The last few years, we have focused on math and number talks as a way to engage students in rigorous math tasks. Our new math curriculum fits perfectly with our work with math talks. Here are a few examples of our daily math talks. All of these slides embody our school culture of collaboration, integrating community, and caring about the people in our school and their stories.
Hello, my name is Mike Dobransky, and I'm proud to serve as the new teacher in the primary IAC classroom at Beverly Park. However, my relationship with Beverly Park began last year as I had the good fortune of conducting my nearly year-long student internship in the intermediate IAC classroom across the hall from where I am now. After faking it as an emergency certificated substitute for a few years in other districts across the region, it was time for me to find out how this teaching thing was done for real. And lucky for me, I got to learn from one of the best, Christina Smith. Combined with 14 extraordinary young individuals and a fabulous paraprofessional in Laura Butler to work with, there are countless stories of inspiration I can share with you today. However, one story that stands out is about what happens when a brilliant teacher is paired with a truly exceptional student. It's a story of a young individual overcoming tremendous struggle with the guidance of a world-class professional. This is the story of Javier Iguado Jr. and his remarkable journey to read and write. When I first met Javier last October, I met a kind and thoughtful fourth grader that had extreme difficulties reading and writing. Afflicted with one of the most severe examples of dyslexia I've seen, I honestly had no idea what could be done to help Javier. It was heartbreaking to bear witness to his struggle, but became even more so as I got to better know Javier and learned what a brilliant young individual he is. One day, Javier brought over a graphic novel he would love to look through and have read to him. It's called March, and it's written by Congressman and civil rights hero John Lewis. After reading an intense section about voter registration suppression tactics for blacks in the South during the Civil Rights era, Javier demonstrated a comprehension of the heavy, complex, and mature content with a wisdom far beyond his years. Javier's keen insight was impressive to say the least, but I couldn't help but think of the places Javier could go if he could only read the words he already knew so well. Luckily for him and for me, we both had Christina Smith for a teacher. Seemingly a walking encyclopedia of effective interventions and best practices, Christina's approach to individualized instruction is the ultimate example of the Highline creed of knowing every student by name, strength, and need. Every day was like a clinic on education where I get to see how Christina tailored the very best techniques and strategies to Javier's strengths and needs. After weeks of patience and persistence, Javier working diligently, drawing letters and words in the air with his fingers, spelling out loud and connecting pictures to the words they represent, the needle started to move forward and momentum in Javier's progress started to pick up. By the end of the school year, the child that a few months before couldn't tell you if a letter was an A or a Z was now reading and writing words and even sentences that was once unimaginable. Javier and Christina taught me so much last year, of which I am eternally grateful. Some of the things I learned was about being ambitious in instruction and having ambitious expectations of my students. I learned about the critical balance between adjusting and persisting in our methods and how we serve our students. And most of all, I learned that nothing can hold back a child that is bright, beautiful, and brimming with promise when paired with a dedicated, knowledgeable, and passionate educator. Javier's Highline story is one that continues to inspire me daily, and I can only hope will in turn positively impact my own students today and in the future. Thank you, Ms. Lamoureux, Dr. Enfield, and members of the school board for taking the time to recognize the shining star at Beverly Park that makes us all so very Highline proud. And especially thank you to Christina and Javier for giving me a front row seat to watch the magic happen. Thank you.
Well, Mike, thank you. Thank you for that. So, Javier, I'm going to read your certificate here, and then we're going to call you up to have a photo with the school board and me, and then we'll do a photo with any of your teachers and your family and the whole bit. It'll just be a photo fest. Everybody get comfy, okay? So, our Highline student superstar, Javier Iguado Jr. In recognition for going above and beyond in your studies and serving as a role model within your school and our community, we honor you as a Highline Public Schools student superstar. Congratulations. So I just want to thank all of the staff that have supported Christina, everybody, for supporting Javier on his learning journey. I want to thank Javier's family. You're his first teachers, so we appreciate everything that you do. And you're so welcome. And now I think you all have a pizza date to get to. Am I correct? So we'll let you go. And you, bye-bye. Go have fun. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. I want to go with Javier and them and have pizza. Okay, so I'm going to turn it back to Rob. Do you have, what's wrong? Questions for Beverly Park from the board?
Well, I'm just kind of overwhelmed. Just want to stay in that moment. Yeah, thank you, guys. I do have a question. I think it's to maybe, is there a specific program that was used by Ms. Smith? To address dyslexic strategies? Is this something that's used across the district or?
Oh, what I believe she did, there's a program called Seeing Stars by, it's by Linda Mood Bell, and she went to a training for it, I believe the summer before. It's a pretty intensive training, and it's an intensive program, but it's not district-wide. I think she did that out of her the budget that she's allocated, so she went to a seminar with that, and she kind of combined that with just some other generally known best practices and really worked out well.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Mike.
Mike, thank you. Thank you so much for the way that you shared about the students, just some things that that really stood out. Something that you said was what can happen when a brilliant teacher and meets with a remarkable student, something along those lines. And just really thank you for the way that you spoke about the student and our and staff in such a asset-based way. And so I'm just a little overwhelmed. The one question that I do have, another statement that I really liked from the presentation was not just the statement, but I would love to hear more, not necessarily tonight, but around positioning our students as teachers and leaders. That's really amazing. I don't know, is that something that is said to them regularly in how we address them, what we call them, or how is that? How does that happen that we are intentionally positioning them as teachers and leaders and honoring their funds of knowledge?
So all the staff at Beverly Park really position themselves as learners of students, from in the cafeteria to the office to the classroom teacher to the support staff in the classroom. We're always asking students about their passions, their goals, what drives them, and for their input on what's happening, whether within a strategy, a time to work together, or within the classroom in general. And then as a school, we're looking for what opportunities can we grow within some of the systems and practices we regularly do to position our students as leaders, from having our fifth grade class redo the courtyard garden to leave a legacy as they graduated last year as the first sixth graders into middle school, to different jobs around the school where you see student leaders taking care of things.
Awesome. Thank you. And I think that just the last thing that I wanted to comment on was is it ECAP that has a program there now? And just thinking about the opportunities, the family engagement model that is used at ECAP and how that really can move forth throughout the entire school, just modeling some of the family engagement strategies that are used within ECAP as well. So thank you all.
No, I'm fine. But I got to tell you, that moment right there, that last picture, I was standing there thinking, okay, there's the village. Mm-hmm. Right? We talk about it, and it's so wonderful to see it in practice right here on this stage, captured on phones and pictures. And so I just really appreciate all of your work and the work of the entire district, because I think that moment right there is why we do what we do. So thank you for that.
I will echo the thanks and just also acknowledge how hard the work that you do is. We know that. I've lived it firsthand. I've been at the school and helped talk a child off a table. And I get it. I know what challenges confront you on a regular basis. And the fact that you refuse to allow those challenges to dampen your spirits or prevent our children from succeeding is truly, truly admirable. So a deep, deep thanks to all of you for everything that you do. We're so grateful, and we're very, very hashtag Highline proud of you. So thank you.
Okay, so that brings us to scheduled communications, and we have one speaker signed up, Melissa Mafua. Is Melissa here?
I haven't seen her.
Okay. So that takes us to superintendent's update.
Yes, so just a couple quick things before I invite Sandy Hunt up. Last week was a big week for celebrating Highline. Last Monday, I was able to present in Shizhuang, China, on a conference on cultivating student leadership. And so our Highline promise has officially gone global, which was very exciting. People were very intrigued by a lot of the work we're doing, and I actually talked quite a bit about the work that our Razbeck Aviation students are doing in that regard. That was Monday. On Wednesday, Catherine, Scott, Mark, and Kisa and I attended Choose 180's big event where they honored Highline with their Founders Award for our partnership. It's very cool. It's in Kisa's office, so you should go check it out. But want to thank Sean Good for that recognition, and we're really grateful to be partnering with him. Want to just remind the 12 people still here and the board that we can really clear a room after the celebrations. We have the Glacier grand opening tomorrow at 5 p.m. at, guess it, Glacier. Beautiful new school. Looking forward to seeing people there. And then Friday is the annual Oktoberfest to support our Highline Schools Foundation. Always a good time at the Cove. And on a more serious note, before I turn it over to Sandy, I just think it goes without saying that we're keeping Angelica and Ernesto, her husband, in our thoughts and prayers as he recovers from his surgery. So just wanted to say that. And with that, Sandy, please.
Well, I did want to start. There's not that many people here. I want to thank Mike was a co-presenter along with Suzanne. We had Steve there at one point, and then Lisa. And so along with Chris in HR, we worked to put this presentation together, and of course Elizabeth Beck. And so we were co-presenting, and I woke up to several texts on my phone this morning saying, wow, that was great. And it was very helpful to be working with our principals there, from the HEA members. And I heard from a few of administrators afterwards that they found it very helpful. So we really appreciate the partnering, and and Suzanne's nodding, so she agrees. So it was great. I don't want to take up a lot of time tonight, but I did want to kind of continue to bring one thing forward around Black Lives Matter. I know that I have members who are interested in hearing that the board would take a position on that. Maybe we could include it even in a board study session, like what would that look like? What would taking a position look like? I've had members bring it to the board last year when we were the night that we were at Aviation, and we've had, I know kids have brought it up, I believe, as well. So rather than each of us kind of in our schools thinking that we're doing the right thing, we would love to have some policy and direction and saying, and positive, like, yes, go forth. And then HEA could partner with, like, okay, we know what's on the district's mind in that regard, and we could, there's a lot of resources on the National Education Association website that have already been vetted. And we do this with, great earnest and also the recognition that it needs to be done right and it needs to be done well or it can really go wrong. So we just are trying, because that is an event in February, we want to make sure that we have the timeline in place to make sure that all the teachers that want to participate are well prepared to do so and that kids also have an opportunity to participate in the planning process. So thank you very much.
Sandy, I just want to say something. Regards to your leadership this year, I appreciate the collaboration that you've brought the cabinet and the entire district in, and just presenting stuff out. I appreciate it. So thank you.
It's been a wonderful process. I've met with, I think, just about everybody here. Rebecca, you'll get an email from me by Friday. And we have little projects going on with everybody. And so I really appreciate it because it's really been a great experience for me to feel like I'm using every tool in my toolkit. I'll tell you that. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Sandy. I appreciate it. And that's it for my report.
Okay. Okay. And that takes us to the director's reports. I don't have a legislative report. So individual director reports. Faiza, do you have anything? Joe?
I don't have anything.
I don't either. I'm looking forward to the grand opening tomorrow and then the Oktoberfest Friday. And again, to echo Susan, please keep Angelica and Ernesto in your thoughts. And, quite a struggle there. So we check in with her. Between the two of us, I think we probably check in almost daily to get updates, and so we will continue to do that. And with that, let's go to consent agenda. So a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Takes us to item number 8. And this would be item 8.1, motion to approve new policy 6100 from local, state, and federal sources and repeal policy 7210, revenues. Any questions or comments? Okay. I move that the Highline School Board approve new policy 6100, revenues from local, state, and federal sources, federal sources, and repeal policy 7210, revenues. A second.
I'll second that.
Director Bradford?
Yay.
Director Vann?
Yay.
Director Dorsey?
Yay.
This motion passes 3-0.
Thank you, Kyle. Takes us to introduction action items. 9.1, motion to approve revisions to policy 3416, medications at schools. Any questions or comments?
I have a comment. I appreciate having my kids be able to apply sunscreen to themselves, so thank you.
They can't share it.
Oh, they can't share it, but yeah. No sharing.
Not always. Okay, so I move that the Highline School Board adopt revised policy 3416.
I second.
Director Vann?
Yay.
Director Bradford?
Yay.
Director Dorsey?
Yay.
This motion passes 3-0.
Thank you, Kyle. Item 9.2, motion to approve readiness to learn partnership. Do you have any questions or comments?
Question.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. Shall I wait for Kisa to get to the mic? So I was looking at the some of the partnerships that we have and just wondering, do we have a consistent process for sourcing and vetting our community partners? Is there a rubric or some type of bidding that happens?
Yes. Okay. So the process for selection includes putting out an application to the schools by way of our administrator packet, allowing a couple weeks for them to return. The partners that are here are returning partners, so they're not new partners that we have to go through and look. And so what we do is we have a committee. Once we receive all the applications, we have a multi-department committee that reviews the applications, uses a rubric to determine things such as existing partnerships in a school, the needs of the school, what other opportunities for extended learning does a school have. The beauty is that these are all the applications, so we don't typically say no unless there's some red flags.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we bring it here.
And what'd you say?
And then we bring it here.
Oh, Wonderful. Thank you. Now, I just wanted to see if there was what that process was, and again, what how are we ensuring consistency amongst our partners, and just ensuring mm-hmm. that there's a fair process. So
yeah, and then there are times where we like to put it out to schools first, because we want schools to think about how the partnership aligns to their school's annual action plan and goals. That's why we put it out to schools. There are times where we have leftover funds partway throughout the year where we put it out to partners so that they can think about summer opportunities for our students as well. And so we have a extensive list of community partners that we do it via email and use the same application process as well.
Great. Thank you.
Any additional questions?
No.
Nope. Okay. Thank you, Kisa. I move that the Highland School Board approve the Readiness to Learn partnerships with Engageable Design, Lego Playwell Technologies, Urban Impact, ACE Academy, Trackademics, and TechBridge.
I'll second that.
Director Bradford?
Yay.
Director Vann?
Yay.
Director Dorsey?
Yay.
This motion passes 3-0.
Can I just offer that TechBridge Girls was founded by a UC Berkeley alum?
I'm just going to leave that. Okay, brings us to item 10, introduction items. Item 10.1, motion to approve Highline Data Infrastructure and Access Grant. Any questions?
Yeah,
it is exciting.
Efficiency. Big shout out to Rebecca Kim. This is the baby that she shepherded along.
Item 10.2, motion to approve revisions to policy 3410, student health. Questions, comments? Faiza, did you
have I did have a question, just because I was a little, maybe a little confused. Just what does that look like? There was language that says that this policy arranges for health services. And so I'm just curious, what does that look like to arrange for health services? Particularly, I think it was around immunization. Is this primarily around record keeping? Is this coordinating services? And do you want me to table this and get oh. No worries. No.
With me. I also am not Kim, but she was unable to be here today, but I told her I would take your questions and be able to give you answers before action in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So I'm taking notes.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to know, again, what's that look like? What are we really talking about here? Is it coordination, or is it more so record keeping, or what does that mean?
Great. Thank you, Holly. Item 10.3, motion to approve revisions to policy 3410, automated external defibrillators.
I do have a question on this. How many of our facilities has an AED? All of them? All of our schools have them?
We'll find out.
All right. Thank you.
We'll find out. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Good. Thank you, Holly. Item 10.4, motion to approve revisions to policy 3413, student immunizations and life-threatening health conditions. Any questions for follow-up?
Since Holly Kim is still there, Holly not Kim. I think my question here is also around what happens if families do not choose immunization. I know that there's a waiver, but if they don't qualify for the waiver, which I don't know exactly. Oh, you got, are you Kim?
I do know the answer to this one. So if a family, if without the waiver, so technically you have, if a student is not fully immunized, mm-hmm. they have 30 days to obtain the immunization or the waiver.
Okay. And can?
And if they don't obtain it, and don't qualify for the waiver, then they are excluded from
they
school
are excluded.
Under a medical health exclusion.
Okay. So they can be excluded, and do we owe anything to the students if they are, like, any type of compensatory services if they are excluded?
No, not necessarily, but I would assume that schools would try and continue to work with the families. It probably depends on the circumstance of how they would work with the families to ensure that the student could stay on track if they were actively seeking, you know.
To be eligible
yes.
for either a waiver or get immunized?
Yes. Because of the addition of the 30-day extension, though, I don't know that I've seen any exclusions lately. Before that 30-day extension, we used to see many exclusions for immunizations, and now with the 30 days, I can't recall recently seeing one where a student was excluded for that reason.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. The questions have come to me, so I wanted to make certain I'm asking these.
Okay. Item 10.5, motion to approve revisions to policy 3414, communicable diseases. Similar. It might be good for just some kind of a briefing for the board on, since these are all interrelated to some degree.
Yeah, so. I can ask him to provide something
Thank
for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I know I'm going to love this one. 10.6, motion to approve revisions to policy 3420, anaphylaxis prevention and response. Yes.
Good job. I practiced. No questions.
Okay, item 10.7, motion to approve the contract with South Seattle College Career Links for the Open Doors program. Nope. Yeah, it is. 10.8, motion to approve the Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of Washington MTSS Integrated Mental Health Grant. That's a good one.
I know. My only question for that one was, it said that no more than 10 schools would be determined, and just wondering how are those schools determined that would get the staffing for that grant?
I'm Doug Judge. I have never formally met you, but I'm the Director of Social Emotional Learning, part of the team that wrote the grant, and the 10 schools will be identified based on readiness, based on what kind of clustering makes sense. There are going to be 3 school-based positions and then 2 folks who are more at the management level and identifying barriers. And those 3 school-based positions, they may find that it's a feeder pattern that makes sense. They may find that there's a cluster of elementary schools that have strong PBIS in place, so the integration of mental health would work well. So it's really up in the air based on the criteria. The other thing about the grant is that we start with a needs assessment through that's provided by Kaiser, and that needs assessment will identify factors that are going to be supportive of implementation. So that'll inform the schools that we identify.
Great. Is there an opportunity to expand beyond 10 schools, or does that just depend on more funding?
It would depend on more funding. We had to articulate the FTE in the grant, and so realistically, being able to support the schools, you would have to expand the positions.
Okay. So then since it's a 3-year grant, looking to then just integrate those positions into positions.
Sustainability.
You're talking about sustainability. So the beauty of this grant, and it's really about building up systems and infrastructure internally, and what's nice and awesome about Highline, which is why I think we got the grant in the first place, is that we have, I think, several existing positions that complement nicely. So depending on what comes out of the needs assessment and all that, we can talk later about what would make sense for continuation. But I just, you know, it's important to note that we have a whole SEL team here. We have school social workers. We have a community partnerships team. So a lot of the work of this grant is connected to a lot of the work that we're doing. And a lot of it is about also boosting those partnerships with external mental health partners as well. And so I don't think we can answer that question right now, but even if we weren't able to continue beyond this grant funding, I think it'll build up systems where we can use our existing staffing to continue to meet the needs.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for your work on that grant, too. Nice to meet you. I was at superintendent and I were both just going, this is a big deal. So
yeah.
It's a very cool thing.
Congratulations, yeah. Doug and Kisa. The other thing, too.
I just want to say it because I am really proud. They only awarded this grant to 3 districts in the state.
Yeah. No, it's a really, really big deal. So, Doug, thanks for your leadership and work on this. We're proud and grateful. The other thing I will say is Doug gave me a copy of the grant, which I read through to get a sense of what it was. And fun fact.
Don't say Cal Berkeley.
No, nothing to do with Cal Berkeley. However, I saw in the grant that Highline was formed in 1924, which would mean that we are 95 years old this year.
Whoop, whoop. Of
anybody?
Course we are.
Anybody? That was cool.
All right.
It's a fact.
We got well,
that is, I was too busy trying to verify the facts and do math in my head.
Yeah. So all that from an English major. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, so that concludes our introduction items. We have no items added to our consent agenda because of the absence of our colleagues, right? That's kind of our unwritten agreement. We actually keep those nowadays. We don't have to have it in writing. It's kind of a nice deal. Unscheduled communication, we have none. The one thing I would say before we look to adjourn is, Holly, while you're taking your notes, would you mind connecting with Sandy and trying to determine what a show of support on behalf of the board would look like around the Black Lives Matters? I appreciate that. And Joe, did you have another?
Yeah, I did. I totally forgot it in the director's reports that I want to thank you, Bernie, and Scott. Scott Logan, wherever he took on. Okay. We were invited to participate at the City of SeaTac, their Community Services Advisory Committee. We were able to discuss just operations and everything. So that was our first step to get in, you know, to work with the city and their citizens. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, they are willing partners. So that was good. Thanks for getting that arranged. And Scott really did all the heavy lifting. And I think he went to Central. Pretty sure. Just saying. Okay, now we look for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, moved and seconded, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.